protection, and much, much more. Over the next hour, Dan will share his wisdom on all of these subjects. Now, here's the host of Defending Your Money, Dan Escott.
Welcome once again to the Defending Your Money Show. Thank you for joining me. This is Dan Ascani. And in case you haven't tuned in before, I'm going to tell you that this show is all about you as the consumer, the investor, and the business, defending, building, and preserving your wealth. In this tough economy, we like to give educational ideas on what's out there in the investment world, what's going on in the economy, what are the markets saying, basically how are they interpreting what's going on, contrasting that with how the rhetoric you hear, for example, from the government or from the Federal Reserve Board, contrasting to how the markets are interpreting it with what the rhetoric you're hearing is. And we try to put it all together, and we like to drill down below the surface layer of basic news and information and cut to the chase, basically looking for clues, because that's where they are. The clues are below the surface layer. By surface layer, I mean basic news that you hear, perhaps evening news, financial news, or that you read. That's important, the basic news and information. Nothing wrong with it, but what I'm saying is drilling down below the surface layer and putting it all together is really where the clues are. We also like to tell you about what's going on out there in the investment world, because the investment climate has changed so much and it seems to keep changing. For example, in 2008 and part of 2009, we're all dealing with a crash and the collapse of the entire economy. And now, in the wake of that crash, we're dealing with the long period of time it takes to reconstruct, to rebuild, as well as a period of low interest rates, extended low interest rates. And that, even though the market and the economy are not crashing, presents quite a challenge to today's investor or consumer, because you're facing very low interest rates in bank savings accounts, brokerage money market accounts, CDs, and so forth. And so it pays to learn the options out there. And also there are other options, too, that sometimes come under pressure. For example, the municipal bond market. Prices declining recently, yields rising, and then just yesterday, the 60 Minutes special on municipal bonds are talking about perhaps, well, I'll get into that in a second, but that explains why there is the pressure on municipal bonds. So you're dealing with the default risk of municipal bonds, and that's what was happening before with corporate bonds during the crash and what's happening now in Europe. The sovereign debt crisis in Europe. We are still seeing a lot of activity related to that crisis going on now, and we are also seeing downgrades going on of various countries' debt, such as Spain and others. We're seeing sovereign bonds under pressure, even though there was a European bailout of Ireland recently, and before that, Greece. And so we're seeing even today the euro, the currency of the European Union, tumbling. And the headline is on debt concerns. In fact, the Bloomberg headline today is most U.S. stocks and oil advance, but the euro tumbles on debt concerns. And that's really overhanging the interest rate sector, the bond market, because ratings have been cut on some Irish lenders, even though Ireland has received a bailout from the European Union. And that's putting similar sovereign bonds, even of other countries, under pressure. The attention being on how much stress are municipalities in the U.S. under is putting pressure on municipal bonds, meaning yields are rising. And so when you hear the rhetoric coming out of the government or the Federal Reserve, you're thinking, well, the economy is getting better, everything's okay, the Fed's stimulating the economy, the government just passed the extension of the Bush-era tax cuts, and so everything must be getting better. But when you look at the bond market, when you cut below the surface layer and look at the what lies below that, you are seeing pressure on interest rates from municipalities and sovereign debt. And so far, the stock market has ignored this for the most part. It's ignored the problems in Europe, although it helped contribute to some violent volatility over the summer when the so-called pigs countries, Portugal, Ireland, Greece, and Spain, came into the news as being the countries with debt problems, and Greece at the time needed a bailout. They were about to default on their interest payments, and this was last spring, and they received a bailout from the European Union, or at least access to the bailout funds. And now the same thing happened with Ireland. And so the attention now is on the other European countries with issues, Portugal, Spain, some focus on Italy, Hungary. And when that happens, investors globally start to say, well, what about other sovereign bonds that aren't in trouble? Am I getting paid enough interest to compensate me for the risk I'm taking investing in global bonds? And the answer for many investors has apparently been no, because the yields have been rising. That means investors are demanding more yield, higher yields on the bonds they invest in to compensate for the potential default risk. As I said, the stock market has ignored it this round so far. I don't know how long that'll last. If the situation gets worse, if the euro keeps falling, if the debt of lenders and countries in Europe keeps getting downgraded by the rating company, the stock market may not ignore it very much longer. Right now, the market, though, appears bent on closing the year strong. It bucked the seasonal trends in September and October by going up and up and up off the August correction low. Normally, you'd expect September to be down and October to at least partly to be down. But that didn't happen. There was a small correction for about a week or so in November. Then prices firmed up again, despite what's happening with interest rates, and also despite what's happening with interest rates on treasuries, because you've seen a big surge in yields on treasury notes and treasury bonds here in the U.S. recently, as investors there demand higher rates for buying government bonds. Perhaps not because they feel the U.S. government's going to default on its debt, but because rates were so low, it just simply wasn't compensating investors enough. You know, when you buy a 20 or 30-year bond, a bond with 20 or 30 years left on it, that's a long time. You don't know what inflation is going to be in 2040. You don't know what interest rates are going to do between now and then. When interest rates rise, long-term bond prices fall. And when there's a threat of inflation, long-term bond prices fall, because the key to pricing in the bond market is that the bond yields would reflect the inflation expectation plus a bit of a premium. So when investors perceive an issue with inflation, they want higher yields also. With the long bond recently being under 4% and as low as 3.1, I believe it was, or 3.15, at the end of 2008 during the crash, that was simply too low. And so we're seeing yields come up as we come through this period. So what lies ahead going forward? Now, the S&P is trading at about a two-year high, just inching above that area that was resistance at 1230. Right now, S&P at 1247, just spending days inching above that resistance level. The Dow inching up to 11,500 in that area. But as I covered last week on the Defending Your Money show, European stocks are not following the Dow to new 52-week highs, even new two-year highs. The European bourses have been lagging, and there may be reasons for that, and it may be a precursor for what lies ahead for early 2011. We'll talk about that a little bit more after the break. This is Dan Ascani with the Defending Your Money show. I'm founder of Ascani Wealth Management in North Palm Beach, Florida. We're full-service wealth managers. If you have an account at Fidelity, TD Ameritrade, or Pershing, we can manage that account. We can be your broker of record. We can help you with financial planning, financial consulting, estate planning, and more. Stay tuned. I'll be back right after the break. Hi, I'm Dan Ascani, host of the Defending Your Money show. Let's face it, today's economy is tough. And building wealth in a low interest rate environment with a roller coaster stock market is difficult. That's why I always say building your wealth begins with an accurate assessment of your investments and the risks you're taking. We use modern portfolio theory to assess the risk you're taking in your portfolio so we can help you have peace of mind knowing the level of risk or standard deviation in your investment portfolio. At my firm, Ascani Wealth Management in North Palm Beach, we'll analyze your portfolio with software to help quantify the risk. Then we'll make recommendations to adjust your investments to the level of risk you want to take. Call now, toll free at 877-578-5788. That's 877-578-5788 for your thorough, no-obligation portfolio review or submit your request on defendingyourmoney.com.
Dan Ascani is a registered investment advisor representative of Kovac Advisors Incorporated and a registered representative of Kovac Securities, member FINRA SIPC.
Hi, I'm Dan Ascani, host of the Defending Your Money show. Let's face it, today's economy is tough, and building wealth in a low interest rate environment with a roller coaster stock market is difficult. That's why I always say building your wealth begins with an accurate assessment of your investments and the risks you're taking. We use modern portfolio theory to assess the risk you're taking in your portfolio so we can help you have peace of mind knowing the level of risk or standard deviation in your investment portfolio. At my firm, Ascani Wealth Management in North Palm Beach, we'll analyze your portfolio with software to help quantify the risk. Then we'll make recommendations to adjust your investments to the level of risk you want to take. Call now, toll free at 877-578-5788. That's 877-578-5788 for your thorough, no-obligation portfolio review or submit your request on defendingyourmoney.com.
Dan Ascani is a registered investment advisor representative of Kovac Advisors Incorporated and a registered representative of Kovac Securities, member FINRA SIPC.
Your Money Show. This is Dan Ascani. I'm here every weekday at 5 p.m. Eastern on Money Talk Radio, AM 740 in South Florida. Also streamed live and archived on our website. All you have to do is punch into your browser, defendingyourmoney.com. That'll redirect you to my firm's website, Ascani Wealth Management. And there you can download free reports. You can find out a little bit more about us. You can hear archived radio shows organized by date and topic. So if you ever miss a show or you want to catch up on what we've been saying on the Defending Your Money show, just punch into your browser, defendingyourmoney.com. I'm a registered investment advisor representative. I've been doing this as a licensed professional for 28 years. That's it sounds like a long time. I just dated myself, which I always do, but it's something you may need to know because we've steered our clients and subscribers to our research through various panics, crashes, and manias. And between those panics, crashes, and manias, there are periods where the markets actually calm down for a while. Right now, it seems like we're between panics, crashes, and manias, but believe me, the market doesn't stay this quiet for long right now. The stock market, not volatile at all. It's the opposite end of the spectrum from a crash where the market barely moves each day. Perhaps having something to do with the Christmas holidays and the holiday period. The market's just not rowdy, so people may be starting to enjoy the holiday after a lot of things to do, a lot of digestion of the financial events going on globally. And, you know, maybe you're enjoying your Christmas too or shopping still, driving home from work. You're getting ready to go shopping again, whatever the case may be. We want to tell you that there are solutions to handling the volatility and the risk in your portfolio, whether it's a retirement account, an IRA rollover, a 401k, a regular brokerage account, or whatever the case. If you're a corporation sponsoring a pension plan for your employees, we manage pension plans of that nature, and we can help you. There is a solution to managing risk in this environment and a solution to when the markets wake up again and become volatile, and we're not between panics, crashes, and manias anymore, and we're actually moving. You know, the market doesn't just move up. It, in fact, doesn't move in one direction. So we will see periods of volatility in the market again. And so the best thing to do is while things are calm, have a portfolio review. It's like going for your annual physical or going to the dentist and taking care of your teeth or taking your car for a tune-up, rotating your tires. You know, those are the things that make your car last longer and your tires last longer and your body and your teeth last longer. Why not make your wealth last longer by reviewing your portfolio? Now, we can do that for you. We're offering free portfolio reviews, in fact. And it's perhaps more of a review than you're used to. You're probably used to hearing advisors like me offer portfolio reviews. But in this case, we have rather extensive software. We load your portfolio into the software, and we also check it against our models. So we're looking not only at your portfolio, taking an X-ray of it, finding out where the risks are that you're taking, finding out where you might be able to rebalance it to smooth it out, maybe to absorb some volatility coming in the future in the markets. But we also check it against what our models are saying about the markets, because many advisors, many professionals, and many investors perhaps rely on the old school asset allocation models to weather the storm. And that would be where you, for example, diversify your portfolio across stocks and bonds and maybe have a couple of alternatives like real estate investment trust or some gold. Allocate your portfolio across that and then forget about it. Under the pretense that over the long term, diversified portfolio always comes back. And, of course, the key word there is always. Maybe they say never, never say always either, because it may take years for a market to come back from the kind of crash we just saw, and you don't want to wait years to build your wealth in this environment, especially when there are investments that move favorably in this environment. So the key is not just to allocate across the asset sector, the spectrum, whatever you want to call it, asset allocate your portfolio and forget about it under the pretense that a diversified portfolio always comes back. What you want to do is adjust, adapt, and manage risk in this environment, adapting to the changes in the marketplace as we recover from the crash and the collapse of the economy. And as interest rates recover, so to speak, from emergency low levels set by the government during and after the crash, 0% interest basically on overnight Fed funds, that's the rate that the Federal Reserve controls, that's the rate that banks lend to each other to settle overnight reserve requirements. The Fed wants that rate as close to zero as it can get it. And everything else tied to that Fed funds rate is also low. So as rates come off of these emergency low levels and eventually they rise, that could upset the markets. Rising interest rates are typically not good for stocks, although you would think that the stock market would like the economy being in a position that's healthy enough to have interest rates come off of emergency low levels and get back to some semblance of normal. It may not be the case that the market absorbs that under that logic, because rising rates could upset the markets. Rates can rise for more than just the economy recovering. Like at the top of the show when I was saying the sovereign debt situation in Europe and the potential municipal bond issues, the municipalities that may have trouble servicing their debt, rates can rise when investors fear those types of changes in the economy, in the interest rate sector. And also related to this point, but not quite with interest rates, is the debasement of our currency, the U.S. dollar, by the Federal Reserve from its policies. Over the long run, paper currencies like the dollar deteriorates in value. It loses value. And as the Federal Reserve and the government stimulate the economy and throw many more dollars into the economy, it dilutes the value of existing dollars, and that helps drive prices up because it takes more of those dollars to buy the goods and services you need to live. and that debases the value of the dollar. So that means the purchasing power of your wealth drops over time, even if the economy is healthy. Now, in the past, the 70s, 80s, 90s, even part of the 2000s, Americans relied on increasing wages to handle the deterioration in purchasing power of the dollar. The idea would be to have your wages go up more than the dollar is falling in purchasing power so that you accumulate more money, not only enough money to handle the decline in purchasing power of the dollar, but to prosper, to build wealth. But that's not the case anymore. It's a new paradigm. The U.S. is under, the U.S. wages are under downward pressure. And in 2008, the net worth of the average American declined 18% in 1 year, according to the Wall Street Journal, early 2009, when they released those numbers. And even in 2009, with the uptick in the market, net worth didn't come close to recovering what was lost in the real estate collapse and the stock market crash. And those are the kinds of things that you need to guard against over time, the destruction of purchasing power, rising interest rates as the economy recovers or as investors demand higher yields from the default potential of sovereign or municipal or whatever the case may be, bonds, and also during a stock market correction. At some point, the market will not seemingly go up almost every day. At some point, there will be a correction. And those are the kinds of things that a portfolio review that I'm talking about, where we load your portfolio into the software, take an X-ray of it, measure the risk you're taking, find out where the concentrations are, find out where some potential changes are that you can make, and then you implement that disciplined strategy to manage risk ahead of time so when the stock market does correct, when interest rates do rise, when the dollar comes under pressure, and if the economy turns down again, you already have a plan in place, and that's important. Right now it's the holidays. You probably would rather enjoy the holidays. But write this number down. If you can't call during the holidays, call me right after, because I imagine we'll see some volatility come 2011. So call me at 877-578-5788, toll-free. Call me or write that number down and give me a call later, 877-578-5788, toll-free. Now, what we can do for you is not only that free portfolio review, but you may need to check out whether or not you can get more income out of your portfolio, or maybe you have some bank CDs that are maturing and you don't know where to go. We can bring up a platform of bank CDs and help you find some if you want CDs. We can help you find alternatives if you don't want CDs. Same with corporates or municipals. Maybe you have an annuity you're looking to do something with. Anything that's out there, we can help you with, as long as it matches your goals and your level of risk tolerance. This is Dan Ascani with the Defending Your Money Show. I'm founder of Ascani Wealth Management, North Palm Beach, Florida. If you have an account at Fidelity, TD Ameritrade, or Pershing, we can manage it for you. We can be your broker of record. We don't custody any money or hold it or clear any trades. We're just your manager or your broker. And if you don't have an account at one of those places, we can arrange a financial planning or consulting agreement with you and help you out anyway. Now, this is Dan Ascani with the Defending Your Money Show. I'll see you tomorrow at 5 p.m. Eastern. Thanks for joining me.
Thanks for listening to Defending Your Money with your host, Dan Ascani of Ascani Wealth Management, located in the Golden Bear Plaza in North Palm Beach. Now it's time for you to take action. Give Dan a call and set up your free consultation, 877-578-5788. That's toll free, 877-578-5788. Or check out the website at www.ascaniwm.com. That's ASCANIWM.com. And join us every day at this same time for Defending Your Money with your host, Dan Ascani, on AM 740 WSBR, South Florida's Money Talk Radio. The opinions expressed in this sponsored program is strictly related to postgame and callers and not necessarily those of the station, staff members, or sponsors. featuring the very best in business broadcasting. You are listening to AM 740 WSBR, South Florida's only Money Talk Radio.
The opinions expressed on the following sponsored program are strictly those of the host, guests, and callers and are not necessarily those of the station, staff, management, or sponsors.
This is Capital Concept with Jeff Shuler, brought to you by Liberty International Financial Services. This radio show is a no-holds-barred, no-nonsense breakdown of every area of the financial market. Liberty International is committed to helping you to protect and grow your assets. If you have questions about the broadcast, call 954-202-9491 or go online to www.lifs.info. And now, here's Jeff Shuler.
And good early evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another edition of Capital Concepts. I'm Jeff Shuler, and we've got a bit to talk about today as the year 2010 is coming to a close. The year 2011 looks to be a very interesting year, and I mean that in every sense of the Russian word of interesting. You know, they say the Russian curses may you live in interesting times. Well, 2011 is going to be some interesting times. Gold, silver, platinum, palladium all closed to the upside today, as did the NASDAQ and S&P. Dow did drop, as did the Nikkei. Oil was up. Dollar was up. And actually, dollar rose 0.25 versus the basket of eight currencies from 10 countries, closing at 80.61. The biggest moves were against the Canadian dollar, the yen, and the Mexican peso. It did slip against most other currencies, however. It wasn't really a broader-based type of a rally. Gold was up double digits, $10.30, closing at $13.85.80. Silver up 16 cents at $29.35. Platinum up $14 at $17.11. Palladium up 3 at $7.41. The Dow did slip a little bit to down 13.78. Closing at 11,478.13. NASDAQ up 6.59 at 26,49.56. The S&P up 317 at 12,47.08. Oil was up 79 cents a barrel at $88.66. Many analysts are looking for copper to make a huge move next year. As a matter of fact, the price of copper could go up as much as 50%. And that's according to Robin Griffiths, who's a technical strategist at Casanova Capital. Copper is the metal that's so useful electrically that it's deemed to have a degree in economics. I don't want to burst your bubble, Robin, but silver is far, far more of a electrical conductant than copper. It's not even close. However, copper's a lot cheaper. Copper is a fraction of the price of silver. It is also a lot more abundant than silver, and therefore it's a lot easier to be used. I happen to agree. I would love to be able to get more into silver. One of the things that we will be doing in the year 2011 is expanding the scope of Liberty International and seeing how we can do such things. To put a capital C in commodities for our company. And normally we talk about gold and silver as metals going up, but they're going up because they're money. They hedge over the printing of fiat money, but when the base metals go up, they go up because somebody's using them. That's according to Robin Griffiths, and that's true. That is absolutely correct. But again, silver, unlike gold was used for electronics, not so much anymore, prices being a big part of it, but also just the superior nature of silver pretty much took that out. But also, analysts are looking for oil to go over $100 a barrel. Same Mr. Griffiths looking at this, a very high probability of oil rising to at least $104 a barrel. And that's pretty much, I mean, that's not far off where I was looking for it to go. Consensus estimates for oil are to go to $100 a barrel range for this year, a base that could reflect a steady pace of economic growth. not so sure about that part. Global economic growth. Don't confuse global economic growth with Western culture economic growth, a la the European zone and the United States. Anything beyond that, such as an estimate from Bank of America, Merrill Lynch, they came out today and said $120 a barrel in the year 2011. That could spell danger. Quote, at current levels, a gradual increase of $10 a barrel in the next couple of years is no big deal for the global economy, said Dak Pandel, economist at Nomura Securities. But a repeat of anything like we had in 2008 or even a rise of a fraction of that size could put a dent in the recovery. Absolutely. I wrote an article about a year ago, and actually maybe a little more than that now, on this subject about what a rise in oil could do to this economy. And that hasn't changed. It's going to be an article that is going to be not only revisited but updated. And the point is that one of the problems for oil in excess of $90, $95, $100 a barrel is that it removes a significant portion of disposable income from the American consumer, not from anybody, any consumer, but particularly for us, the American consumer's pocketbook. And when you remove that level of disposable income for no return, it hurts economically. It will have to come from someplace else. The thing is this. You can't really change all that much your consumption levels. Oh, you can do certain things to drop it down a little bit, you know, travel less, things like that. But you still have to get to work. You may start carpooling and things like that. But, hey, we're Americans. We drive our own cars. I don't see that changing too much. And it's not going to change. Habits won't change until it really starts to hurt. Once it really starts to hurt, then most of the damage is going to be done. Your use of electricity at the home. Now, you'll do some cost-saving measures. You'll turn off lights. But most of us pretty much are in that habit now anyhow. We're at that point of the law of diminishing returns. Point being that any of this potential comeback that we have economically could not only be curtailed by oil at $105 or $110 a barrel, get wiped out and then some. And then we're sitting in a period of true stagflation. And the only thing that's going to bail you out is gold, silver, maybe, you know, copper, things like that, commodities. Now, talking about retail sales, actually, not bad. Cash registers are ringing up big sales in the final days before Christmas. That's kind of easing the fears of front-loaded holiday season. A lot of the concerns were that because of all the added hours and incentives in November, that people, you know, jumped in November, wouldn't do it in December. Customer Growth Partners President Craig Johnson expects this holiday season to surpass 2007 total sales record of $508 billion. That means not only will the holiday season post the strongest year-over-year growth since 2005, 6.1%, it could be the best since 1999's 8.8% increase. Now, again, remember, we were way, 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 way down last year. So here's the thing. In 1999, when retail sales were at 8.8%, fourth quarter GDP growth was 7.4%. Following full year was 4.1%. We're not there. Some of the strongest growth is coming from e-commerce and apparel sales. Report by Spending Pulse said e-commerce sales rose 13.5%. Apparel was up almost 10% from the start of the holiday season through December 11th compared to the same time a year ago. Much of the growth in apparel is coming from sales of men's and women's clothing, with women's apparel purchases up 4.4%, men's 8.4%. Jewelry and luxury sales are also up, interestingly enough, only a couple percentage points, but still up. Now, electronics, only 0.4%. So pretty much that's flat. A lot of pricing pressures. And there's just so much can be overcome with volume. So it's interesting to see exactly where and what are people spending money on? Clothes. Clothing. Interesting, right? They're not spending it on electronics. They're spending it on clothing. They're not really spending that much on jewelry. It's a 2.6% increase. Whereas, and that coming from anemic last year, that's really, honestly, it's pathetic. But the move, clothing, mostly men's clothing, what does that tell you? That means the gifts that people are buying are multi-purpose. It's not simply, oh, I'm going to buy you something nice for the holidays. This is something that you can use for the entire year, and it's a necessity. Clothing is not optional. We don't live in a land of nudists. You don't walk. You don't see people walking out Florida, around Florida without clothing on. I hear tell there's a beach or two around, but that's, you know, it's another show, another story, somebody else's business. The point being that the money that's being spent is being spent frugally. It's being spent intellectually. It's, honey, yes, I got you something for Christmas. I got you something for Hanukkah. But I got you something that you need that we probably would have bought anyhow, but I'm doing it now so it can count as a Christmas gift or a Hanukkah gift. What does that tell you? It means that while consumers may be spending, it's not discretionary income. It's not leftover money. It's budgeted money. An interesting reason for that, temps. Where's most of the job? Where's most of the job growth that we're seeing coming? Temporary workers. A surge in short-term hiring. Many American businesses are skittish about making these jobs permanent, raising concerns among workers and some labor experts that temporary employees will become a larger, more entrenched part of the workforce. This is bad news for the nation. Workers are already facing one of the bleakest labor markets in recent history. Temporary employees generally achieve fewer benefits or none at all, and have almost no job security. It's harder for them to save, and it's much more difficult for them to develop a career arc while hopping from boss to boss. Here's a quote. We're in a period where uncertainty seems to be going on forever, to David Auter, an economist at the Massachusetts Institute of Technology. So this period of temporary employment seems to be going on forever. This year, companies have hired temporary workers in significant numbers. In November, they accounted for 80% of the 50,000 jobs added by private sector employers. That's according to the Labor Department. Since the beginning of the year, employers have added a net 307,000 temporary workers, more than a quarter of the private sector jobs added in total. Are those real jobs? People are getting paid, but they get paid a lot less, and they get no benefits. That's where these, quote, government numbers are coming from that are keeping it looking like we still only have 9.8% unemployment. Go for some good news before the break. New York City may see a $1.7 billion budget surplus this year. That's right. New York City could end the current fiscal year with a $1.7 billion budget surplus due to higher-than-expected tax revenue. The additional revenue could translate to a significantly smaller budget deficit for fiscal 2012, $1.1 billion, than Michael Bloomberg has projected. Fiscal 2012 begins next July. Now, I'm not 100% sure, and I'll look into it, but I'm pretty sure they run on a two-year cycle. Not bad. So there you go, New York. $1.7 billion surplus for the year. Good job. We'll talk about some of the things we talked about earlier. Talk about oil and what that's going to mean to us when we get back from the break.
Is the recession over or is the worst yet to come? You've heard all the speculation. Now it's time for solutions. Liberty International Financial Services is helping its clients to stop the bleeding in their investment portfolios and retirement accounts, and even recoup much or all of their stock market losses. Diversify your holdings with precious metal IRA accounts. Invest directly into crude oil without the risk associated with futures, options, or the stock market. Liberty International specializes in cutting-edge but not bleeding-edge investment programs for precious metals and physical commodities that can significantly diminish your sell-side risk. Call now for your personal and confidential consultation with the professionals at Liberty International Financial Services. Call 954-202-9491. That's 954-202-9491. Don't miss this opportunity. Take action now. Call for your personal and confidential consultation. 954-202-9491. That's 954-202-9491. Or go online to www.lifs.info. You are listening to Capital Concepts with Jeff Shuler, brought to you by Liberty International Financial Services, your source for the whole truth about the financial market. If you have questions about the broadcast, call 954-202-9491. That's 954-202-9491. Or go online to www.lifs.info. Now, once again, here's Jeff Shuler.
The student loans and what's going on there, apparently there's a lot of money out for student loans. Unfortunately, it looks like the default rate is not so good. And there's actually talk that this might be the next shoe to drop in problems for banks, et cetera, and our government. Government aid for housing seems to be on the decline when North Carolina Banking Commissioner Joe Smith's nomination to head the Federal Housing Finance Agency passed out of committee early in the week. It was expected it was a done deal. Unfortunately, not so much. While his credentials seem to fit the job, his support widespread throughout the industry, his timing may be his downfall. There's currently quite the fight going on between the administration